Turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 5. I picked a book that was near the front of the Bible so you could all find it. Brother Watford, that's in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 5, find verse number 1. And you can remain seated. I'm going to read to you from Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Exodus chapter 5. And the Bible says this, "And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.' And they said, 'The God of the Hebrew hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.' And the king of Egypt said unto him, 'Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?'" Those last five words, "get you unto your burdens," will launch us into the sermon that I'll preach to you tonight. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, help us. Do a work deep, deep, deep in someone's heart. Help it to be lasting beyond just this meeting tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look back at me, if you will. Here, the children of Israel are in captivity, this portion of Scripture that we're reading. And they had been in captivity for a long time. They were slaves for all practical purposes. And God knew that. Now, God knew where they were at, and God knew what they were going through. And Pharaoh, the man that had them captive, says to them, "Get back to your burden." Here's what they were doing. They were slaves. They were making bricks. And there had been a little time away from their burden or their work. And the guy in charge said, "You get back to that burden that you carry. You get back to it." Now, I want you to know, everybody has burdens. Everybody does. And I've learned something, and adults, listen to this very carefully. Burden people and rebellious people, they're different on the inside. Well, you know, sometimes they look the same on the outside. Every once in a while, you look at somebody and you think they're rebellious. Is it possible they have a broken heart? Is it possible there are hurts on the inside that put that look on their face on the outside? And I think that's true. Young people, let me give you something, and let me remind you of something. You know, God never allows things to come into your life to ruin you. God never intended for you to be ruined. But I can tell you this, the children of Israel, they were in a captivity. They were facing a heavy, heavy, heavy burden. And God did not intend for that to destroy them. God really wanted to help them. You always remember, God is a fair God. And God is a just God. And God loves you. God wants what's best for you. And if you tonight, you say, "You know, Brother Owens, I've got some heavy things going on in my life. I've got a burden in my life." I want you to know God's not forgotten about you. God knows who you are. God knows where you are. And God cares about that. I'm going to tell you a story. There was an ant. And this ant wanted to build a structure. Now, to build this structure, he had to find the perfect, perfect stick. So he took off looking for the stick. He walked all day. It was hot. He walked all day. He got up onto a sidewalk. Now, to him, it was like an 8-lane highway. I mean, there were bicycles and people. To us, just a sidewalk. But to him, it was very dangerous. He was looking for that stick because he had something to build. Well, he got off into the grass. Someone's yard, a lawn. Now, to him, it was just like a rainforest. I mean, the thickness of the grass. To you and me, it's just somebody's front lawn. It's somebody's grass. Then he found himself going through a little sandy area where children were to play. To you and me, just a sandbox, just a little bit of sand. To him, it was like the Sahara Desert. I mean, there was sand and it was hot. And he had just come off of an 8-lane highway and came all the way through that tropical rainforest looking for that perfect stick. And you know something? He found a stick. He found the stick. He didn't realize it. It was a matchstick. One of the old square wooden type matchsticks. He found it. Somebody had used it and tossed it aside. And he said, this is perfect. This is the perfect stick for me to help build my structure. He thought, oh no, I've been traveling all day. And I've got to get this stick home. And I have no way to get it home. He said, well, the only way I can get it home, I guess, is to carry it. He reached down, picked that stick up, and he put it on his shoulders. And he began to walk. And he got to thinking, the sun's getting ready to go down. This thing is so heavy. It's burdensome. This thing is heavy. It outweighs me. It's bigger than me. It's more than I can handle. And I've got to get all the way back to my anthill. I've got to go back across that 8-lane highway and through that tropical rainforest and through the Sahara Desert of that sandbox. I've got to carry this thing all that way. He said, there's no way I'm going to make it. I am not going to make it before sundown. I'm not going to be able to get this stick back there. And it was so heavy. It burdened him down. When he would walk, he could just feel it crushing him. Well, he thought, I'm just not going to make it. So, he got to thinking. There was a fence right there. There was a fence. The fence was made of red brick, somewhat like our church building on the outside. Red brick stuck together with mortar. And he thought to himself, you know, that fence starts here and it ends right where my anthill is. If I could figure out a way to get up on that fence, walk across the top of it, go down the other side, it's going to let me off right at my anthill. I could bypass the 8-lane highway. I could bypass that Sahara Desert. I could bypass that rainforest. He said, I'm going to do it. Well, on both ends of that fence, there was an incline, like a ramp. That's how they built it. So he took his stick, and he started going up the ramp, and he got to the top, and he thought, this is fantastic. He said, way over there, I can see my anthill. I can do this. So he's got that stick on his back, and he's walking along. Now, it's only about 6 or 7 foot high, but you have to understand, he feels like he's on the top of the Empire State Building. It's a Sears Tower. It's huge. And the wind's up there blowing, but he's walking along, and he's got that burden of that stick on his back, and he thinks, on the other end, there's an incline like a ramp. I'm going to walk right down it. I'll have my stick at my anthill, and I'll be done. And he's not very far away. He says, I see the incline. I see the ramp on the other side, and the sun's starting to go down. And then he faced it. A problem. He took a step, and he noticed between two of the bricks, the person that had built the bridge, that had built that big fence, had forgot to put mortar, that cement, in between the two bricks. So there was a gap there. Oh, now what's he going to do? There's a gap. And he has no idea. How in the world is he going to get his stick across that gap? Now, again, to you and to me, that was only about a half inch or maybe an inch between those two bricks where that mortar was missing. And it was only about 3 inches deep. But to him, it was the Grand Canyon. To him, it was a long way across that gap. To him, it was way, way deep down. And then now he's stuck. He sits down and he virtually begins to cry. What am I going to do? I come all this way. What am I going to do? I can't get my stick home. Then it occurred to him. He took that stick off of his back. He laid that stick across that gap. He laid it across it. He stood up on his stick, and like a tightrope walker, he walked across the matchstick to the other side. When he reached the other side, he brushed himself off. He picked up the stick. He placed it on his back. And he took it home. He took it home and built his structure. You know what he'd done? He had turned that burden on his back into a bridge. He had taken that heavy burden and he turned it into a bridge that helped him to get where he needed to go. You know something? All the heartaches and all the burdens that come in your life, God wants you to take your burdens and He wants you to turn them into bridges. That's what God wants. God wants you to take the heartache of your life and turn it into a burden. And you might be here and you might say, well, Brother Owens, right now I don't have any problems. I mean, Mom and Dad take care of everything and I have just a pretty peaceful life. I live out in the country and I don't have any burdens. Well, let me warn you, you will have burdens someday. But I believe there are many people, young and old alike, under the sound of my voice, you have heartaches and you have burdens. You have heavy things that have weighed down your life. Some of your burdens are self-inflicted. Some of your burdens are life-inflicted. But I just want you to understand, the title of my sermon is Turn Your Burden into a Bridge. You see, the hardship that comes into your life, God didn't intend that that hardship destroy you. God's not trying to destroy you. When hardship comes in your life, God has a plan and a purpose for it. You take that hardship, just like that ant took that heavy stick, and he laid it across that gap, and he walked across it. You let your burden become a bridge in your life. Now stay with me. I've only got 3 points to this sermon. Listen to them. First of all, the heavier your burden, the stronger your bridge could be. The heavier your burden, the stronger your bridge. You know, had that ant been carrying a blade of grass or a string, had he been carrying a petal to a flower, it wouldn't have sustained his weight when he had to go across that gap. That stick had to be durable. Why? He had to walk across it. He had to use that burden to get him where he was going. And just so you all understand something, if you say, preacher, I face some heavy things in my life. Well, let me tell you something. Sometimes we face heavy things in our youth because God has something big for us to do someday. And the heavier your burden in life, the more durable the bridge could be that God will build with your life. You just need to understand something. If you're a mamby-pamby, whiny, softy all the way through your youth, you're going to have a hard time being anything tough when you grow up. If you go through a few tough things, that your toughness now is going to make you more durable later in life. There's just no doubt about that. And say, God will never bring a burden upon you that you can't handle. You might say right now, I'll tell you what I'm carrying right now. Maybe you're having a hardship with Mom or a hardship with Dad. Maybe it's with grandparents or a friend or at school or with your health. I don't know what it is. But let me say to you, God will never put a burden on you that is greater than what you could bear. You say, why? Because God is a fair God and God is a just God and God is a loving God. So whatever you face, God will give you the power and the strength to face it. God didn't give you that burden to weigh you down and to crush you. He gave it to you to make you strong. And the heavier your burden, the stronger your bridge could be. Some years ago, I was speaking with a woman. She's very sick. She had multiple sclerosis. She was stuck in a wheelchair. Her husband was a drunk. He took off and forsook her. I was talking to her after church one day, and she asked me this question. She said, Brother Owens, am I so very, very weak that these things happen to me? I said, no, ma'am. You are so very, very strong that these things happen to you. I said, because God would not bring a heavy burden on somebody if he did not believe that they could bear it, because God is a just God and God is a fair God. And while you're busy letting the devil tell you it's happening because you're weak, God is saying, I believe in you. I think you have strength. I think you can do this. Because God would never place anything on anybody that they could not handle. Which means this, the bigger the burden, the bigger the task that God has out there for you. It's not a weakness. I think heavy burdens are a compliment. God only places heavy burdens on the shoulders of those that he has confidence in, that they can carry that burden. We sing the song, Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do remember me. We sing a verse, it goes, the heavier the cross, the brighter the crown. The heavier the cross, the brighter the crown. You say, what's that mean? If you bear a load, if you bear a cross, let me explain it to you. The heavier the cross that you bear, the greater the crown of the victory that God can give you. And you'll have a lot of people pat you on the head and rub your belly and tell you to go have a pity party. I'm just here to tell you, if you've got a heavy burden in your life, I'm sorry for you and my heart bleeds for you. But let me tell you something. That heavy burden could turn into a great and a powerful bridge that God could build in your life. Mother said to me, she said, "Brother Owens, I need you to help my daughter." Her daughter was 14 years of age. She said, "I don't know what to say to her anymore. I just don't know what to say to her." I was counseling with this 14-year-old girl. The girl began to tell me her story. She said, "Well, Brother Owens, my dad left us. My dad forsook us. And so my mom didn't know what to do, so we moved in with my grandma and grandpa." And she said, "I was so glad. I was so glad to be with my grandma and grandpa." She said, "And then my grandpa died." She said, "It wasn't long, my grandma died." She said, "It's terrible." She said, "It was terrible." She said, "I was visiting with my dad." And she said, "I'm the one that found him." I said, "What do you mean you found him?" She said, "He hung himself." She said, "I walked in and I found him." My heart broke. Can you imagine a 14-year-old girl whose father forsakes her? She moves in with grandma and grandpa. They both die, and she finds her father having committed suicide. She was weeping. I was weeping. In my heart, as a preacher, I was thinking, what do you say? What do I say? I looked up and I said, "Young lady, I'm honored to be in your presence." She said, "Excuse me?" I said, "I'm honored to be in your presence." She said, "Why do you say that?" I said, "You sure are something. The thought that a young lady at your age would be facing such a heavy burden, it must be that God believes you have an awful lot of strength. It must be that if you'll do right, God has a plan for all of this. God is trying to make you strong, and God is trying to make you durable, and God has something very big for your future." And I said, "I want you to know something. God loves you, and God never intended for this thing to break you down and to smother you into nothing. God intended for that burden to make you strong and big and capable." She said, "Boy," she said, "I never thought of it that way." Hey, God's not asking you to carry that burden unless He has a blueprint for a magnificent bridge that He wants you to build. You look at it as a burden. God says those are building supplies. Young people, the greatest things that I've ever seen built were not built by people that were pampered. It was built by people that had durability and strength. People that have gone through tough times. This great country was built by pioneers that chiseled it out of rock, that knew how to fight and stand for something, not a bunch of whiny baby preppies in the new generation. Great things are built by people with determination that have faced the hardships of life and they kept on going in spite of it. I can tell you, the times when I was pampered in life, I don't remember that doing me any good. The things that have meant the most to my life have been the hardest times of my history that trained me and prepared me to do what God would have me to do. My first point is, the heavier your burden, the stronger your bridge. Say, "It's heavy, Brother Owens." Wow. I guess God's got something big for your future, doesn't He? Don't waste your burden. Don't waste it. That burden was not just given as a burden. It's a preparation. It's a sign, it's a confidence that God has shown in you. Number two, let your burden become a bridge to your success. He said, "Get back to your burden." I have a friend, his name is Dan. When Dan's parents ran a pizza, they used to call them pizza parlor. They would grind their own meat, and they would grind their own cheese. They had a big machine, a grinder. Some of you ever process venison, you've got a grinder and you take it and you put it in, it just spits it out the other end. Well, they would process their own cheese. They'd take a big block of cheese. Dan one day was a teenage boy, was helping his dad at the pizza place. He'd taken a block of cheese, started to shove it through the grinder. It took a hold of his fingers. And the grinder went all the way up to his elbow. They had to surgically remove Dan's arm from that grinder. And he ended up getting, he got a fake arm is what ended up happening. He's just 12, 13 years of age. I remember Dan telling the story later in life, and Dan said this. He said, they used to play basketball right in front of my house. He said, now I've only got my left hand. He was right-handed. He said, I'd hear the ball bouncing. He said, I'd go to my room and cry because I couldn't play ball anymore. He said, I'd hear the ball bouncing, and it would depress me. He said, I'd peek out the window to see who was playing ball out front. But my arm was gone. All I had was my left hand, and I wasn't good at anything with my left hand. He said, one day I was peeking out the window, and it occurred to me, I've only got one hand. I'm going to have to learn to dribble with my left hand. He got a ball out. He started to learn to dribble with his left hand. In private, he started learning how to shoot with his left hand only. He learned how to rebound with his left hand only. He learned how to pass with his left hand only. One day, he heard them playing ball out front, and he said, I'm going to try. He went out and started playing ball with the guys out front, and in a matter of a few minutes, he was keeping up. By the time he was a senior in high school, he was a high point man on his varsity basketball team as a starter, as a guard, moving the ball. He was averaging 20 to 30 points. He went to Bible college, and when he graduated from Bible college, they hired him to become the athletic director at the Bible college. You know what? I would guess that somebody faced a burden, and it was a heavy one, but they didn't let it destroy them. They let it make them. He took his burden, and he let it create success in his life. There are some of you that will never be the high point man, and you'll never be the athletic director at a college, and you have both of your arms. He had a burden. That burden did not stop him. He had a heartache. He did not let that heartache stop him. He said, I will let this catapult me to a success. And he did. I did not have the privilege when I was growing up to go to a Christian school. And I believe it's a privilege to go to the right kind of a Christian school. But I didn't have that privilege. I went to the public school. I started in my public school a Bible club. Every day, I had permission from the principal, and every day as a public school student, I would meet with those kids that would come. We called it the Proverbs Club. I'd teach them a little bit from the book of Proverbs every day. I started, I think, when I was a sophomore in high school. Carried my Bible to school every day. And I'll tell you something. Got mocked. I got teased because of it. I was a church boy. They would come, and I would teach the book of Proverbs. The theme, we called our club, we had a little theme to it. It's TROT, T-R-O-T. It stood for Teens Reaching Other Teens. I was trying to win people to Christ in my public school. Well, this is what would happen. The guys that would tease and mock, when I would leave my locker and I would go to lunch every day, I had to walk down a certain corridor at the school to get to the lunchroom. There were benches on both sides of that corridor. When I would walk through there, the men or the guys that wanted to tease me, they would sit on those benches and they would start doing this. They'd stomp their feet, all of them, as I'd walk through that corridor, and they would say, Trot. Trot, Billy Bible. You could hear it all the way through the school. I was going from my locker to the lunchroom every day. Trot. Trot, Billy Bible. I just walked down to lunch. I remember someone took a key, and when I wasn't at my car in the school parking lot, they scratched in the hood of my car with their key, the filthiest four-letter word you can scratch in a car. Mocked, teased. I tried to get into class one day, had my Bible with me. There are five guys waiting outside my geography classroom. They said, you going into class? I said, I am. They said, you can go in, but that book's not going in. I said, the book's going in and I'm going in. My pastor had said to me, he said, Jeff, now don't go to school looking for a fight. I said, I won't. I won't. I said, I'm going in and I'm taking my Bible with me. A guy knocked my books out of my hands. Another guy took a swing at me. You say, what'd you do? I obeyed my preacher. I closed my eyes and came out swinging. I was not looking for a fight. I went through it my sophomore year, my junior year. In my senior year, I went to see my pastor and I said, preacher, I've had it. I've had it. I'm just not going to put up with it anymore. I've just had it. And he said, oh, Jeff, it's only you only have a few weeks, a month and a half to graduation. I said, I've had it. I don't have to put up with this. It's terrible. It's not fair. I've not done anything to them. All I'm trying to do is serve the Lord. He said, Jeff, look, it's less than 2 months to graduation. You'll be out. I said, I'm just not going to put up with it anymore. He said, okay. He said, I agree. I think you should quit tomorrow. He said, this is too big for you. I said, well, preacher, I didn't say it was too big for me. I said, I just had it. He said, no, Jeff, listen, I agree with you. Look, they win. Why should you have to go through this? They win. I said, no, that's not what I mean, preacher. They win. He said, look, I think you ought to march in there and quit tomorrow. This is too hard. I said, it is not too hard, and they do not win, and I am not going to quit, and you can't make me. I went back to school and graduated, but I'll tell you, those were hard years. Those were hard years. Matter of fact, there's some of you go to a Christian school that if you really serve God, you'll be mocked there. That's sad. But I'll tell you something, those were hard years for me. Little did I know that I would go off to Bible college. And after I graduated from Bible college, my pastor called me in. He said, son, I need somebody that has a passion for helping young people and a passion for helping young people in the public school. He said, I'd like to hire you on staff to be my assistant pastor, and I want you to run a ministry and build a ministry called the Public Bible Club Ministry. Huh. Somehow, those years of burden ended up helping me to build a bridge to my own personal success. At one point in the Chicagoland area, we had 35 different Bible clubs that went into 35 different high schools. I could go on and on and on and tell you about it. Incredible. Remarkable. What had happened. We at one pastor's conference 1 year, I was asked to present the public school burden. At the end of the conference, 400 churches agreed that they too would start Bible club ministries in their church. You know where that all happened? It happened when I was your age, going to my school, taking a stand for what was right. That's where it came from. It came from when I was 15 and 16 and 17 years of age, carrying my Bible, not afraid of my peers, going through a tough time, willing to be mocked, willing to live right, willing to say no to the wrong kind of girls, willing to say yes to the right kind of life. Hey, willing to say to my basketball coach, I don't practice on Wednesday night because I'll be at church. I remember going through that. I remember taking that stand. And by the way, if athletics is taking you away from God, you've got the wrong thing going in your life. I'm not against athletics. I'm for it. I think it's good for you. But if it's robbing you from God in church, there's something wrong with that. But where that ministry was, I have preached to almost 500,000 teenagers in my life. That's a lot of teenagers to preach to. But you know where it came from? Trot Billy Bible. It's when I was being mocked. When I was going through a tough time in my life. And I hung in there. And somehow God said, if this kid can take it while he's young, I can use him when he's later on. And I'll use him in an area where he had a burden. But he survived the burden and we'll build a bridge. And that bridge will be on to his success. There are a lot of people out there that have had burdens. I think of a man by the name of Dr. Tom Williams. His wife became very sick with meningitis. And instead of letting that destroy him, he turned his burden into a bridge. He produced a book and a video called Twice Given that went all around the world. Dr. Lee Robertson had a daughter. Some of you have heard of him. Built a great college and a great church in his day. Dr. Lee Robertson had a daughter named Joy that died. She was deaf. And instead of letting it destroy him, he took his burden and he turned it into a bridge. He started a camp called Camp Joy where thousands and thousands of boys and girls have been saved. I think of Mrs. Marlene Evans. Mrs. Evans was the wife of the my Bible college president, Dr. Wendell Evans. She got sick with cancer. She fought it for 18 years. But instead of letting it get her down and destroy her, instead of letting her burden just be a burden, she made something big of it. She hosted ladies' conference. She wrote a book called Cancer, My Enemy, My friend. You know what she did? She had a burden. She turned it into a bridge, and it virtually became a bridge that became her own success. Some of you sing the songs of a lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. She wrote 3,000 songs. She was blind. Instead of whining and pouting, and instead of being in misery all the time about it, she said, you know something? I can't see, but that is not going to stop me. I will take my burden, I will build a bridge with it, I will walk across it, and I will become a success because of it, not use it as an excuse for my failure. And she did. You sing her songs all the time. She's written more songs than seeing people can write. You know something? I don't want to go through. I would not want to go through all those hardships that I've gone through in my lifetime. I wouldn't want to go through any of them again. But now that I have gone through them, I can appreciate them because many of them helped me to get from where I was to where I am. And God's been good to me. He's used my burden as a bridge to help me. Point three, and I'm almost done. It'll go quickly. My life's verse is this. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you've got a burden, turn it into a bridge. Turn it into a bridge that could lead to your success. But even better than that, take your burden and turn it into a bridge so other people can use that bridge. As you carry your burden, you help others across their times of hardship. My pastor for many, many years, he grew up in a home where his daddy was a drunk. He'd tell the story of watching his father hit his mother. I remember him telling the story of his father taking, his dad used to lay oak floor. His dad was a drunk, and one day his dad came home and took his fist and hit his mom, and they didn't have money, and her teeth were old and rotten and brittle. Said when my dad hit my mom, he said, I watched the teeth fall out of her face. I went over and mom and I curled up and over near the potbelly stove to stay safe while dad was a drunk. I remember him talking about how he grew up like that. I remember him talking about everything that he went through in his family. But you know what? My old pastor did not let that burden stop him. He decided, I'll take that experience. I'll build a bridge with it. I'll let it help me to be strong later on. But I'm going to help people. And he became a champion to help people. Oh, poor bus kids and people that would never have anything. You know what he did? He built the world's largest Sunday school in Chicago as a result of it. There are people in this room. Many of you have been influenced and you don't even know who the bridge builder was. People in here that went to a college that trains you very well. Where'd that come from? It was born when a little boy watched his mother get her teeth knocked out and he said, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm going to build something good of my life. And it's not going to just be for me. I'm going to do it because other people need that. Many of you have crossed bridges that were built by people that learned to build the bridge through hardship and sacrifice. You know, there's some of you, you need to go through your hardship in life and you need to do it with some dignity. And you need to do it with victory. You say, why? Because we need people that will be bridge builders. There's some of you, you understand, if you'll take the hardship that you have and face it and get through it and succeed in spite of it, what you're going to do is you're going to help your little brother. It's going to be your little brother that's going to come across that bridge with you. It's going to be a little sister that can come across that bridge with you. Believe it or not, some of you, you're going to realize this someday. You're going to grow up and it's going to be your mom or your dad that's going to need you. You can help them across that bridge. Mrs. Owens and I, we talked about this many times. Growing up within our families, and I mean pretty well within the immediate part of our family, there are about 15 divorces. I hate divorce. Now, I don't hate divorcees. God bless them. What a heartache. I feel terrible for them. But you know, when I got married, I told Mrs. Owens, I said, I remember crying myself to sleep at night, watching family members. I had a grandfather that was married 5 times. I remember crying when I would go visit, say, why ain't grandma here? It was just devastating to me to watch people. And I said, I don't want to live that way. I wanted to learn from all of that. I had no idea that all that heartache and all that turmoil, when I was bothered by watching parents and marriages destroyed, I remember what I decided. I decided, I want to make it through this, and I want to have a strong marriage, I said, but also, I want to help some people. When I graduated from Bible college, my pastor said, I'd like for you to help me reach young married couples here at the church. I thought, my, isn't that amazing? Because one of the passions of the burden that I faced as a young person is that I wanted to contribute to making marriages stronger. So I started a married couples class. At one point that had, well, actually, had it been a church, I was told it had been the second largest church in my state. It was just one Sunday school class. It's called the Sweetheart Couples Class. It's been my privilege to marry seven couples who had been divorced, but to remarry them. You say, why? Had a passion. You say, where'd you get it? By crying myself to sleep at night when I was your age over the heartache that I've seen in my families over marriage. Can I tell you something? If you all make it through your burden, if you all bear your burden and you'll decide not to let it get you down, you could help a lot of people. See, I needed to bear my burden so that those young people from the public schools could come across the bridge that was built as a result of me bearing my burden. I needed to bear my burden and build a bridge because there were married couples that would need my help someday, and I needed to build that bridge so they could come across that bridge. Everybody here, just so you know, life is really not all about you. It's all about everybody else. The Christian life is not all about me, 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 mine, my. It's all about everybody else. So whatever you're facing in life, if you'll face it and you'll go through it the right way, it will help you. But folks, we've got to do the right thing for the sake of all the other people. You're going to have children someday. There are young men in here. The truth is, God wanted to use you as a preacher. God wanted to use you as a youth director. God wants to use you, but He's not going to get the chance to use you as a missionary or get the chance to use you as a preacher or get the chance to use you as a preacher's wife. And I'll tell you why. When you face hardship, you get so concerned about you, you don't realize you've got to make it through the hardship. You've got to say no to the temptation because there are people out there in your future that are depending on you to make it. They're depending on you to take it. They're depending on you not to let the burden crush you, but for you to take the burden off your back, build a bridge, and say, I'm going to succeed and I'm going to bring some other people to Jesus Christ. I'm going to take this because I'm going to be used of God someday. But we get so consumed with our own burden. And God knows I love you. And I could cry with you in a flash over your burden. But remember, it's not all just about you. Somebody needs you to make it. An old man traveled a lone highway. He came to a cavern, cold, dark, and gray. He crossed in the twilight dim, for the solemn stream held no fears for him. But he paused as he reached the other side, and he built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried a fellow pilgrim near, why waste your time in your building here? You've crossed the cavern deep and wide, why build you a bridge to span the tide? The old gray-haired builder lifted his head and said, there followeth after me today a fair-haired youth whose feet must also pass this way. Although not to me, to him this cavern may a pitfall be. He too must cross in twilight dim. And good friend, I build this bridge for him. I'll be done in 30 seconds, so ushers, you be ready. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, in just a nutshell, about the greatest bridge builder of eternity. His name was Jesus. They placed a stick on his back. It was called the cross. And he bore the burden. He carried the stick up Golgotha. He carried the stick to Calvary, and he died, and was buried, and resurrected. You know what he did? He took that stick called the death, burial, and the resurrection. He took that finished work on Calvary, and he took that cross, and he spanned the gap from earth to heaven. And he made it so that you and I could be born again. Romans chapter 5 verse 10 says, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. You know what Jesus did? He took the cross. He built a bridge to salvation and to God so that you and I could be born again. There is the greatest bridge builder ever. It's Jesus. Listen. Don't let your burden destroy you. Build a bridge. Let that bridge help you to succeed. And then, let that bridge be a bridge that others can come across. You're going to need it. Some of you, you need to go through what you're going through with dignity. Don't lose your Christianity. Do the right thing. Somebody is watching you. Somebody else needs to come across that bridge. Make your burden into a bridge. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're not going to have a lengthy altar call. But here, we're not even going to come forward. First question is this. Who here would say, Brother Owens, I am facing some things that are pretty heavy on my heart. I am. Would you raise your hand and say, I am. Oh, my hand's everywhere. God bless you. God bless you, young people. I believe that. You may put your hand down. You admitted that you're facing some heavy things. Who here would say, Preacher, I don't want those things to destroy me. I'm going to figure out a way to get through it. I want to succeed and become stronger because of it. I want to help some other people someday because I made it through my hardship. And you'd say, God's spoken to my heart. I want to make it through it. I want to build a bridge with this burden that I bear. Would you raise your hand? And again, lots of hands. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Father, somehow take the simple sermon and help it to help somebody. Help people that are facing heartaches that we don't even know about. Help them to become strong. Help them to see that you give them strength. They can succeed later in life by making it through this hardship today, and they're going to help somebody else because of it. And we pray in Jesus' name.